From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo attends virtual APEC Summit 2020. Media is an important element in the tourism sector and creative economy in handling the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, the news in details. President Joko Widodo joined the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation APEC Summit 2020 held virtually via video conferencing from the Bogor Presidential Palace on Friday. The Presidential Secretariat Press Bureau said in a statement released on Friday that hosted by Malaysia, the summit this year has been organized with a team optimizing human potential towards a resilient future of shared prosperity, private priorities, progress. At the summit, Indonesia will reiterate the significance of needing strategic trust to lay a strong foundation for a creation of economic togetherness among APEC members, as well as to explain necessary steps taken to help the global economy recover from the pandemic. At the summit, APEC leaders are expected to agree on the post-2020 APEC vision, which will decide the direction of APEC's work for the next 20 years. The Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy held a discussion with journalists with the theme Tourism Journalism in the New Normal Era on Friday in Jakarta. Head of the Communication Bureau of the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Agustini Rahayu, after the event told journalists that the media is an important element to boost the value of tourism during the pandemic.
Kita tuh perlu menyikapi pola komunikasi kita kepada media melalui informasi publik ya, gitu ya. Nah, media menjadi.
We need to respond to our communication pattern to the media through public information. Media has a very important role to help us promote the programs of the ministry to deal with the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic in the sectors of tourism and the creative economy. Moreover, Agustini explained that Indonesia has also a program namely I Do Care, which is one of the crisis management used by the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy to restore Indonesia's economy through the tourism sector and the creative economy. The ministry also issued more than 6,000 certificates of cleanliness, health, safe, and environment sustainability, or CHSE, to convince domestic and foreign tourists that Indonesian tourism destinations are safe to visit. The Indonesian government will tighten the implementation of health protocols for minor Hajj pilgrims as a precautionary measure against COVID-19 transmission. It was stated by Acting Director General of Hajj and Minor Hajj Religious Affairs Ministry, Oman Fatur Rahman, on Friday as quoted by Antara News Agency. He said the ministry will monitor and ensure that the Umrah tour operators adhere to the rules stipulated in the Religious Minister Regulation Number 719 of 2020 on guidance for Umrah tour operators during the COVID-19 pandemic. He also noted since November 8 there was no departures of Umrah pilgrims, and it is expected that Indonesian Muslims can perform Umrah in the next few days. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Canada is seeing a massive spike in COVID-19 cases, which could overwhelm the hospital system. An emotional Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said on Friday, imploring Canadians to stay home as much as possible. As stated by Reuters.com, a second wave is ripping across the country. forcing several of the 10 provinces to reimpose restriction of movement and businesses. Trudeau saying a normal Christmas is quite frankly right out of the questions, spoke shortly after Theresa Tam, chief public health officers, predicted new daily cases could soar to 60,000 by the end of the year from less than 5,000 now. According to more than a dozen executive at banks and financial lobby groups, financial lobbyists, kept at arm's length by Joe Biden's campaign, have begun engaging with the Democratic president-elect transition team on issues including economic stimulus, pandemic aid programs, and appointees. Some industries executives had worried they may struggle to access Biden's transition team after his campaign had largely warned off lobbyists pushing policy ask and pledge to crack down on influence peddling if he won. As quoted by Reuters.com, in addition to these formal meetings, other industry executives said they had been able to chat informally with long-established contacts, including policy experts and academics, now acting as unpaid advisors to the transition team. United Kingdom Health Secretary Matt Hancock has said the National Health Services NHS is setting up vaccination centers across the country in preparation for any jab being approved. As reported by BBC.com, people will be vaccinated at centre and in hospitals, as well as in the community by GPs. The government has also officially asked the medical regulator to assess the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. Hancock said if the regulator approved, vaccination could start next month, but the bulk of the vaccination rolled out would be in the new year. It comes as another 20,252 confirmed COVID-19 cases were announced by the government on Friday, as well as a further 511 deaths. Eight agencies are calling for an immediate temporary ceasefire in northern Ethiopia to allow aid to reach civilians affected by fighting. The UN wants humanitarian corridors set up after 2 weeks of conflicts between Ethiopia's military and forces backing the leaderships in the Tigray region. As reported by BBC.com, hundreds of people are reported to have been killed in the clashes. On Friday, Ethiopia government said it had captured the city of Aksum and the town of Adwa. The government said that forces battling its military in both areas had surrendered. However, the claims have not been independently verified and information is difficult to confirm because phone and internet connection have been down since the beginning of the conflict. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuku Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. News of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from across Indonesia. First news comes from Bandung, West Java. The West Java provincial government pays special attention to the development of education in the maritime sector. West Java is collaborating with a university from England to develop the quality of vocational education, especially in the maritime field, through the West Java Education Office and the City of Glasgow College. It was marked by the signing of a letter of intent by West Java Governor Ridwan Kamil in Bandung on Wednesday, witnessed by the British Ambassador to Indonesia and Timor Leste Owen Jenkins via a virtual broadcast. West Java Governor M. Ridwan Kamil conveyed his seriousness in revitalizing vocational education in West Java by developing a curriculum to harmonize industry and vocational high schools. He sees the maritime sector as having great potential if it is supported by good quality human resources, and the selection of this sector is in accordance with a number of strategic development in West Java. Next news comes from Sidoarjo, East Java. Students of SMA Muhammadiyah 1 Taman Sumamita in Sidoarjo, East Java, won the International Science and Invention Fair ISIF competition, which was held virtually last October. The coordinator of the Sumamita Sidoarjo Scientific Group, Bakhtiar, said on Wednesday that 400 teams from 30 countries participated in the competition. The Indonesian team consisted of 6 participants, each presenting their work, including body temperature detector, infusion detectors, herbal mask, and as also tourist sites. One of the students, Alsabila Putri Ramadhani, said that her herbal mask, named Mint Eucalyptus Mask, is included in the life science category, while another student's creation is included in the physics and engineering category. Muhammad Hussein Aprianto, the team leader of the group, explained that the device created could detect the content of a patient infusion bag over a long distance. Latest news come from Bogor, West Java. The Faculty of Forestry and Environment, APB University, together with the Asian Forestry Students Association, AFSA, held the 2020 Forestry and Environmental Summer Course and the 2020 AFSA Congress from 31 October to November 15, 2020, involving 100 participants from 14 countries. AFSA is a youth organization founded on September 24, 1993, through the first Asian Forestry Student Congress in Bogor, following the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding between IPB and University Putra Malaysia in Kuala Lumpur on October 27, 1991, and IPB and Kasetsart University in Bangkok on October 30, 1991. In a release received in Jakarta on Wednesday, on the first day of AFSA 2020, an Asian Forestry Outlook was held, which discussed the current and future condition of Asian's forestry. In addition, it also discussed the urgency, impact, and role and opportunities of youth to develop forestry in Southeast Asian region. The Youth Organization Congress also conducted the selection of the executives of the AFSA Executive Board and other organs, which resulted in the decision of Sonia Ruth Diaz from IPB University Indonesia as Secretary General, Carl Fernandez as a Treasurer, and Joylin Yu as Director of Info Center, both from the University of the Philippines Los Banos, UPLB. On this occasion, the AFSA delegation also provided a number of recommendations called the Bogor Initiative. In the general session, it was also agreed that the next AFSA Congress will be held at UPLB in the Philippines. Listener, that was news from across Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, welcome back to Today in History. We start with an event on November 21, 1980, where the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, United States, caught fire and killed 85 people. A SAFA fired at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, United States, killed 85 people, most due to smoke inhalation. This incident injured another 650, including guests, employees, and 14 firefighters. This tragedy became the worst disaster in Nevada history and the second worst hotel fire in modern U.S. history after the 1946 Wyckoff Hotel fire that killed 119 people. Let's move on to November 21st, the commemoration of the World Television Day. The General Assembly of the United Nations declared November 21st as the World Television Day through Resolution 51/205 on December 17. This was done after the World Television Forum was held from 21st and 22nd of November 1996. At the forum, prominent media figures met under the auspices of the United Nations UN to discuss the importance of television development in changing today's world and to consider how television can enhance cooperation. Last event is in 1997 about the commemoration of World Fisheries Day. At the meeting in New Delhi, India on November 21, 1997, the World Forum at Fish Harvesters and Fish Workers, or WFF, was established. The participants in the meeting agreed to make November 21 as the date the commemoration of World Fisheries Day. Since then, small and medium-scale fishermen have gathered annually in various places around the world to commemorate it and highlight the urgent needs to protect fishery resources. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhen que pei tai kou zhao yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni. 你的口罩, 保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19. En portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Thank you. yakini cinta takkan berakhir. Namun takdir menuliskan kita harus berakhir. Segenap hatiku luluh lantak mengiringi dukaku yang kehilangan dirimu. Sungguh ku tak mampu untuk meredam kepedihan hatiku untuk merelakan kepergian.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today on economy will not rise unless pandemic is defeated. Indonesian Foreign Minister Ratna Marsudi in the 5th Jakarta Food Security Summit on Indonesia's export strategy during and post-pandemic on Thursday predicted that the economy will not rise if the world has not succeeded in defeating the COVID-19 pandemic. Therefore, she emphasized that Indonesia is working hard in diplomacy regarding access to the COVID-19 vaccine. Ratna Marsudi emphasized that Indonesia's diplomacy from the start has continued to voice the importance of access to safe vaccine at affordable price for all countries. She added that the pandemic not only had an impact on the health crisis, but also resulted in a global economic downturn. Quoting the International Monetary Fund IMF, Ratna Marsudi said, "The prediction of economic growth in 2020 will reach -4%. She revealed three important things that Indonesia could do to help global economic recovery. First, building health resilience by focusing on the production of the COVID-19 vaccine. Everyone hopes that the world can get a vaccine that is safe and effective." Ratna Marsudi quoted President Joko Widodo saying that the priority was maintaining the safety and effectiveness of the vaccine to be used. The second is the importance of building trust between countries by establishing trade cooperation. And the third is about maintaining security stability between countries. She emphasized that Indonesia does not want to be trapped in rivalry between countries. ASEAN also should not be trapped in rivalry and centrality. ASEAN must unite and cannot be drawn to take sides, and its centralities must continue to be upheld. Previously, Foreign Minister Ratna Marsudi said the 37 ASEAN summit, which was held virtually last week, resulted in a number of collaborations related to the handling of COVID-19. One of them is the formation of the COVID-19 Asian Emergency Response Fund. Through this mechanism, $10 million had been collected from various countries' donations. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Apa yang harus aku lakukan? Aku tunjukkan untuk membuat kau menyayangiku. Inilah aku yang memilih kau untukku. Karena aku mencintaimu dan hatiku
Indonesia COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
Harib COVID-19 dibaqaikum fil manazil.
Zusammen gegen Corona, wir bleiben zu Hause.
Stay at home, stay healthy, and together we can fight the coronavirus.
Bleib thuis. Was je handen met zeep, draag je masker als je naar buiten gaat, neem de vitamine en zorg je gezondheid. Samen bestrijden we de coronavirus.
From Indonesia to the world.
Radio Voice of Office, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I will take you to Banyuwala Waterfall. If you like beautiful scenery and want to enjoy it at the same time, Banyuwala Waterfall, located in Wanagiri Village, Sukasada, Buleleng, Bali, is the best location. Its hidden location makes this waterfall not widely known by tourists. Banyuwala Waterfall is at the bottom of valley with three sides of the waterfall. The largest and highest are right in the middle, while the smaller is on either side. Right below the Banyuwala Waterfall, there is a pool that is formed naturally, and this is actually what makes this waterfall so famous. With very clear and calm water, the waterfall makes you feel safe swimming and playing water in it. In addition, even though you are at the top, you will still be able to see the bottom of the pool, which is about 2 meters deep. Fresh air and a beautiful atmosphere will welcome you when you arrive at this location. This place is also suitable for taking selfies because there are many beautiful spots there. Get to the Banyuwala Waterfall location. If you depart from Denpasar, it will take you approximately 3 hours by land transportation. Arriving at the location from the parking lot, you still have to walk about 100 meters to get to Banyuwala Waterfall. At the guard post, to enter the waterfall area, you have to pay an entrance ticket of 10,000 rupiah per person. The road to get to the waterfall is sometimes a bit difficult and tiring because you have to go through a fairly extreme way down and footpath. Fatigue will disappear once you arrived in front of Banyuwala Waterfall. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Banyuwala Waterfall in Bali. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.
Seperti yang dulu, ku untuk bersamaku lagi. Aku pun mengerti satu yang tak bisa lepas. Percayalah, hanya kau yang mampu mencuri hatiku. Aku pun tak mengerti satu yang tak bisa lepas. Bawalah kembali jiwa yang luka dan perasaan yang lemah ini menyentuh sendiriku.
Well, listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miss Eleni today on Timau Observatory will be a monitoring place for habitable planet. Maybe Indonesia will soon follow NASA in terms of research on other life outside the Earth. The National Institute of Space and Aviation, LAPAN, is reportedly ready to focus on observing space objects, whether it's looking for habitable planets to aliens. Research on exoplanets or planets outside the solar system will begin in 2021. LAPAN researchers Rorom Priyatikanto said that this plan includes the observation of transient objects projects, celestial bodies whose light is not fixed and often appeared suddenly, but then slowly disappeared. Transient objects include nova, supernova, gamma ray bursts, and AGN flares or flares released by active galactic nuclei. research on detention objects is planned to be focused at the Timor Observatory in Nusa Tenggara. This observatory is the one built by the government because its location, which far from light pollution, is appropriate for conducting research on detention objects that require dark night. It is reported that the Timor Observatory will be predicted as the largest in Southeast Asia. This observatory will cost up to 400 billion rupiah, the construction of which is located from the state budget. Those working together to create this observatory are ITB, University of Nusa Cendana Kupang, the East Nusa Tenggara Provincial Government, and the Kupang Regency Government. Even though Lapan is still using a telescope with a diameter of 50 cm in researching outer space until now, it has revealed that the Timor Observatory will be home to a telescope with 3.8 diameters. This observatory will be able to observe the solar system not only in the northern sky but also in the southern sky. Of course, the presence of the 3.8 diameter telescope can help Lapan to observe other life outside the Earth. Listen, and that was Miss Elaine. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu. Maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai o fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang cheng chue pei tai kou zhou. 以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播，我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Volkom, de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Mencintaiku
terang. Cintailahku sepenuh hati, sesungguhnya aku tak ingin kau pergi. Takkan mampu ku hadapi dunia ini pernah sama bila kau tinggalkan ku. Tetaplah di sini saling memiliki selama lamanya. Cinta ilahku sepenuh hati, sesungguhnya saat ku jatuh nanti. Menangis sepi,
menangis sepi.
Cintailahku sepenuh hati, sesungguhnya aku tak ingin kau pergi.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we are going to present you a keroncong song entitled Tanam Padi. The song Tanam Padi was composed by S. Padimin. It describes one of Indonesian lives, namely farming, especially planting rice. As we know, rice is the staple food of most Indonesian people. The song also tells about the beauty of rice fields, which are stretched between mountains and valleys, as well as farmers' happiness when working at the rice fields. They do it for a bright future. Smooth rhythm of keroncong music will bring our feeling to the village's nature, which is peaceful and calm. Well, listener, here is Yenny Arbian with keroncong song entitled Tanam Padi.
Thank you. hasil swadaya.
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku sadar kalau kini kita sudah semakin menjauh. Sempat aku berpikir ini kau yang menginginkannya lepas dari pelukku.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.